Thank you, Todd. Good morning. Hope you're enjoying your time here with us at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel this morning. Sure is a blessing to me, and I hear all your voices back there behind me as I sit up here in the front. Just a joy to be here and to sing these songs of praise and testimony to the Lord. I've just had a very exciting week. I'm just coming off a week up at Mountaintop Youth Camp in Pinnacle, a camp most of you are very familiar with. Some may not be, a camp that this local church has supported since the very beginning. In fact, a part of founding the camp years ago. I'm not sure how many. I think it maybe started in 1964, the first week of actual camp. But we've seen God do great things there over the years, and I was up at the senior teen camp for ages 15 to 19, and we had a wonderful week there, and it's still kind of overflowing, still kind of processing it, and it's on my mind this morning. I had intended for us to continue in our study in Luke, and Lord willing, we'll get back to that with the first part of chapter 8 next week, but I was sharing with one of the counselors yesterday morning, and I asked him to pray for me because I still had work to do on the message for this morning. And he said, "Why don't you just talk about what the Lord's been doing at camp this week?" And I thought, I think that might be from God. So anyway, I began to meditate on that, and the Lord gave me a scripture. And I just want to start out, you know, you can get a lot of stuff on Facebook. I know a lot of it's probably not profitable. Maybe most of it's not. But you know, a lot of times people are giving testimony to God and His goodness and His grace there. Just a couple of things that I pulled off yesterday evening. Had one of the best weeks of my life at Mountaintop this past week. It was inexplicably incredible. And I like that little phrase because you can't put it into words. In fact, I was emailing Gary Stewart, who's going to be speaking tonight, and I told him you can't put it into words. I'll tell you about it later. And I sent that, and I thought, that didn't make sense. You can't put it into words. How am I going to tell you about it later? But anyway, I'm going to do my best. So here's what a camper said. What an amazing week at camp. God did amazing things. Here's another one that was posted. I'll read a portion of it. Every year this place gets more and more amazing, but this year stood a million miles apart from the rest. And I hope none of us ever forgets what God did in all of our lives this week. From seeing so many people get saved and then baptized to just talking, crying, laughing, and pouring our hearts out to each other. I need to quit reading this. I'm going to get emotional. I'm sorry. For who knows how long last night, I could never begin to express how thankful I am for this place, as well as everyone who makes Mountaintop possible. And I'll stop there. I do hope I don't get emotional. I'm tired, too, which doesn't help. You know, hold back the tears. You know how that goes. But let's kind of focus in a little bit here. And I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 3. Because really, the time together this morning is not about Mountaintop. Mountaintop is the backdrop. Mountaintop is the illustration that I want to use this morning to make the point that we're going to see here at the end of Ephesians chapter 3, which is the verse that I feel like the Lord gave me for talking about this morning. We are going to look at some pictures. We're going to talk a lot about what happened at Mountaintop, and I've only got a little over 30 minutes left, so obviously I'm not going to be able to do it justice. But here in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is kind of bringing to a conclusion something he is revealing. He is revealing a mystery that was hidden in the Old Testament, hidden even in the time that the Lord Jesus was here, even though the Lord Jesus did speak of it and refer to it. He left it to Paul, and it was through Paul that he would bring out the mystery of the church, of the ecclesia, of the called out ones, called out from all nations, called out from all peoples, called out from both genders, called out from all ages, and brought together in the Lord Jesus. And as he comes to the end of that revelation, he begins to share with them his prayer for them. And we're going to start there at verse 14. Verse 14. And I tell you what I'm going to... let's just read the first part here. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And now, if you will, we're going to pray, because I'm going to pray these next couple of verses for you. Okay? Here's what I'm going to pray. Lord, I pray this morning that you would grant, according to the riches of your glory, that everyone here this morning would be strengthened with might through your Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Now I want to draw your attention to verses 20 and 21. This is what we want to look at this morning. Here's how Paul, he comes to this point. He opened his letter. He talked personally to them about this revelation of the church. He prays for them. And now his heart just rises up in a doxology of glory to God. And that's what I hope happens here this morning, that as we think about Him who is able, that our hearts will well up with exaltation of the One that has allowed us to be here this morning, our very Creator, our Redeemer. Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To Him. We know who the Him is here. And if we've been reading the first three chapters, there's no question to anybody. The Him is God. And God is the One who is able. God is the One who is capable. And we can look throughout the New Testament and we can find that God is able, according to Matthew 3:9, to raise up children from stones. He can do that if He so chooses. He is able, according to Romans 16:25, to stabilize, to establish everyone who comes to the Lord Jesus in response to the preaching of the gospel. He can do that, and He does do that. He is able, according to Hebrews 7:25, to save to the uttermost, to save completely. He is the One, according to Hebrews 11:19, as Abraham counted Him faithful, that He is able to raise the dead. And He's going to do that. And Jude 24 tells us that He is able to keep us from falling and present us blameless. But here in Ephesians chapter 3, God is the One who is able to do. He is able to author. He is able to produce. You think about a factory that's capable of producing a massive amount of product. Well, God is the One who is able to produce, and the quantity which He can produce is what is rising up in Paul's heart and is getting him so excited. God is able to produce exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Literally, that would be that God is able to produce much. Excuse me, let me get it right here. God is able to produce more than, much more than all that we can ask or that we can even imagine. That's God. He is the One who is working, and He is working according, Paul says, by the Spirit of God, according to the power operating in us. And in Ephesians 1, verses 19 and 20 and 21, we see that this is the power that He worked in raising His Son from the dead and seating Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. That's the power. That's the power of God that we see creating the universe. That's the power of God that we see parting the Red Sea. That's the power of God that we see working in the New Testament period. That's the power of God that is alive today. And what does Paul say about this One? In verse 21. to Him. To Him be glory. His is the honor and the exaltation and the adoration in the church. He comes back to what He has just revealed. If we know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we've been brought, we've been called out and brought into the body of Christ. And we are the ones who are to be reflecting the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are the ones who are to be speaking of Him and exalting His name. And we do that how? By Christ Jesus. It's through the Lord Jesus living in us. Paul says, I don't live anymore. It's not me. I've been crucified with Christ. But yet I do live, but now it's different because it's Christ living His life through me by faith. I'm trusting Him. I trusted Him for salvation. I'm trusting Him to work through me, to live through me. And as I yield to Him and give my life to Him, that glory will come to God, who is worthy, who is able to do more than we can ask and think. And that's going to be true to all generations. As long as there are people being born on this earth, God is going to be glorified. And not only as long as people are being born on this earth, but forever and ever, for all eternity. We can be a part of that right now. And Paul said, amen. So be it. Let that happen. That's what I want, Paul says, in my life. That's what I want in my local church. That's what I want to see in all believers everywhere. I want to see God glorified. He is the one who is able. He is capable of producing far, far more than we can even ask. We'll never ask God too much because He can do more than we can even ask Him for. In fact, we can't even imagine all that God can do. It's beyond our ability to even comprehend. You see that mountain right there? You see that mountain? Now, there were some young people that came to the bottom of that mountain, and their goal was to climb up that mountain, and some of them looked at it and said, I can't do that. Some of them said, I'm not going to try to do that, and you're not going to force me to do that. But that's a tall mountain. To climb up that mountain, it looks impossible. And we're facing things in our lives today, and you're facing things in your family, and you're facing things in your community, and your school, and your workplace, and in different areas of life, and you're looking, you're saying, I can't do it. You see, this morning we're thinking about Him who is able to do far, far more than you will ever ask Him to do. Far, far more than you can even imagine. And God, that God, was working this week, as He always is. But we saw it in power. Our brother prayed this morning that we would see the power of God. And we saw that in a mighty way this past week. A lot of that came because there was an army of prayer warriors, not just on the mountain, but down here in the valley. Many of you are a part of that. Praying, giving, supporting, sending, loving, caring. And God is blessing. And I'd like for us just to reflect on some of what He abundantly produced this past week at Senior Teen Camp. Some of them are very, the first one is just so practical. You say, Mark, you know, I thought this was a spiritually minded message. Can't you be more spiritually minded? I'm going to tell you, He is able to produce dry weather. And you live here. You know what we've been going through since January. And I tell you, to be program director for a camp full of teenagers with no gym, and to think you're going to go up there and it's going to rain a bunch of days. Our son Joseph was the games director. I said, you better bring a bunch of rain games. I brought a stack of DVDs that tall. I said, I don't know. We might never get to go outside. But you know what? God had other plans. He sure did. And this is what we saw. Now, we did see some clouds coming through, but I tell you, it barely rained a drip, if you could even say that, for the whole week. Now, you say, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal if you're up there seeking to bring God's Word to these kids and wanting them. They came up there. One fellow told me, he said, you know, I came up here for the fun. He said, I never expected God to work in my life like He did. But you see, He came up there for the fun. And they were able to have that. And we praise God for that. God is working in great ways. You know, He also is able to produce and did produce a full camp. I've been going to a senior teen camp in the Mountaintop for many years as a camper, a counselor, a program director. And I don't know if for a week we've ever had this many campers. Stan and Pam can tell you, but we had 130 campers there at the camp. You're saying, where'd you put them? Because you don't have enough cabins for all that. Some of them were in a trailer. The girls were completely full, four full cabins, and some in a trailer. The guys, three full cabins, completely full, 130. 76 precious girls and 54 precious guys. Out of all the ones that signed up, only one didn't show, and it didn't take Pam hardly any time to get that spot filled by somebody off the waiting list. God provided a full camp of kids. There's just a few of them. That's only six. There's a couple from our chapel there. Only six of the 130 that were there. God was working. He is able to do that. He's able to bring in children and young people to that camp to hear His Word. He's able to bring in people here. And He's doing that too. God is able. He's able to produce a spirit of cooperation. And we saw that. When you get 130 teenagers from different backgrounds and different places and different issues, and there were plenty of issues, as we all have issues in our lives, but we saw God work to bring a spirit of cooperation in their behavior. And I think this is my 23rd year as program director for senior teen camp. More kids than we've ever had on the mountain at one time, less problems than we've ever had. Amazing. If you had to, usually I can tell you, okay, here are the five most problem kids I got to watch for. I couldn't put one on the list. If you asked me, who you got to watch for? Who were the problem teens? We didn't have any. Well, that was God working. You know, not, hey, we want problem kids, bring them up there too. But God, and there were some who could have caused problems, but God got hold of them and kept them from causing problems that this particular week. That spirit of cooperation as they participated in with creativity and enthusiasm. Here, some of you think, what in the world is that? Well, the speaker was speaking in the evenings from Matthew 2. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But he would every night have us all stand up and he would read verses 1 through 11, the story of the Magi. And he said, now, if any of the teams, we had five teams, any team wants to act it out word for word. Now, you don't get up there and ad lib. You take the scripture. And this team, my wife was one of the coaches, so I'll give her a little shout out on that. But they got up there and they acted out. And I know the one guy there doesn't look like he came from the first century, but they tied it in well. They tied it in, so they did a good job. But they were just such a great group. We praise God for that. You know, the reason we come up there is for the Word of God. That's why you send young people. That's why you give. That's why you pray. If we're just up there having a good time, and no matter how creative it was, that wouldn't be your heart. But we praise God that He is able to produce and does and did this year powerful preaching. A young man, some of you know him, Nate Bramson, grew up in Senegal, has lived part of his short life over in Cairo in Egypt, working with kids there, and now is in Niger in East Africa. Working with children in hunger there and bringing the gospel. And this young man came and God worked in his life that he might bring an enthusiasm that didn't come just from personality but came from a love for the Lord Jesus. That's why he was excited. Because he loves the Lord Jesus and he was willing to come and be transparent with his own life and his own struggles. And he was willing to bring a message from the Word of God, a strong message that was very relevant. And he lived it in his own life. His time in the Word was clear. His time in prayer, and even though he doesn't bring attention to it, his time in fasting, that he might be ready to preach the Word of God and to present it. This is not a picture of him preaching. We don't take a lot of pictures during the meetings, so I didn't have a picture of him preaching. Here he's singing. He's singing for a package that he got. If you were there, it's a little bit of a funny thing. But that's Carol Stewart's granddaughter is getting sung to a little bit right there. But this is Nate Bramson. You pray for this brother. And God used him to take us on what he called the ultimate star quest. With the question coming to our hearts, and I'll just very quickly just summarize it for you and bring it to your heart. What is keeping you from Bethlehem? What's keeping you from Bethlehem? You know, Herod, his title as king, and him wanting to be on the throne, that was keeping him from Bethlehem. He wanted control. He didn't want to give it to the Lord Jesus. And Nathan was very strong with the young people that I'm not talking about just praying a prayer and then going on with your life. I'm talking about giving your life to the Lord Jesus when you trust Him as your Savior. Because He wants all, not just some. The scribes and the Pharisees, what kept them from Bethlehem? They were the ones who knew where the Messiah would be born. They're the ones who pointed the Magi. But they didn't make it. Why? Because the 18 inches from the head to the heart. No, they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And then there were the people of Jerusalem who were afraid of what other people might think about them or what might happen to them if they make that step of faith to go out and follow the star to Bethlehem. But praise God, there were the Magi who did go to Bethlehem, who went in humility. Though we often exalt them as we think about them at Christmas time, they went in great humility to pay homage and worship. They bowed down before the king. And they honored him by giving their treasures. And every evening, our brother, he brought that out clearly with the gospel and would challenge to believers. And in the mornings, he talked about being prepared for this journey. And basically, his three-word theme was this. Here's the message of the Lord Jesus. Come and die. Come and die. Now, how do you like to stand in front of 130 teenagers and give that message? How'd you like to stand in front of any 130 people or one person? But those young people, and I praise God for this generation, and I'm excited about a group of young people. And it doesn't have to just be young people. That's why I'm sharing it this morning, that God is calling all of us. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is calling us to come. Yes, He calls us to come and dine, but He also calls us to come and die, and to die to self and to deny self and to take up our cross and follow Him. And that was Nathan's challenge. God provided powerful preaching. He also, praise His name, provided caring workers. There was a young fellow there, the guy on the left, and I know when you look at the picture, you'll think he was a camper, but he actually was a counselor. A 22-year-old young man, first time he'd ever been a counselor. His name is Dan, and he was telling me at the end of the week, he said, you know, I've been involved in different camps, but he said, something is different. He said, the love toward these campers and the serving attitude of the counselors and the staff toward these campers is different. You see, that's unique. That's God that's doing that. That's God that's drawing workers up to be there who aren't just coming to do it because it's a week away or maybe it'll be fun, but because they have a heart for these young people. Whether it be as a nurse or a kitchen worker or a counselor or somebody taking out the trash or working the ropes course, they love these young people and they care. And God provided, He provided a couple of extra special young men for us. The one there on the left, right in the center of the picture, his name is Phil. Pray for Phil. He's from Northern Ireland. His parents are missionaries in Israel and he lives in Cyprus. And he met Nate, and he's been traveling around, a 20-year-old young guy. And this guy was so fervent with the gospel And God provided him to be there to care. He stayed in the cabin just like a camper. Another fellow here too, the one in the white t-shirt, second from your left. His name is Hudson Newbold from Spanish Wells in the Bahamas. God had used Nate down in that area, and Hudson was so excited about the things of God. Nate said, I want you to travel with me this summer. This young man, 19 years old, staying there in the cabin again with the guys, reaching out, having the opportunity to share the gospel, to lead several to Christ. God was providing caring workers. You see, God is able to do that. God is able to do that more than we would even dare to ask Him or even think to ask Him. He did great things. He's able to produce a song in the heart, and we saw that. We saw that this week as we saw these young people singing songs of praise to God and worship, just as our brother read in the Lord's Supper this morning from Psalm 40. God has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And as Joseph led the music, yes, they sang some contemporary choruses like we did this morning. But one evening, a bunch of them were gathered around the piano singing out of the hymns of worship and remembrance. And they were singing choruses from way back in my day when I was a teenager. Our theme song probably would have been, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. That's an oldie but goodie. And God is able to put a song in, not only in their hearts, He's able to put a song in your heart. And you might not even like to sing. But God can put a song in your heart. That when you come together with the people of God, that you are singing, not just words, not just by rote, not just to fill up time, but you're singing to God Himself and about Him, and you're thinking about that. God is able to do that. And He did it. And it impacted this week greatly. God is able. He's able to produce the ability to memorize. You might say, now, whoa, okay, you got to stop there. I'm getting older. I can't memorize anymore. And I don't expect you to memorize like they memorized. Now, we gave them a passage every day based on what Nate was going to be speaking on. The first passage was there in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And that was our theme verse for the week. But they learned, many of them, the whole passage. And then Tuesday, Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. On Wednesday, they memorized Luke 14, verses 26 to 33, where the Lord Jesus said, bear your cross and forsake all. Forsake all. And then on Thursday, Matthew 5, verses 3 to 12, the Beatitudes. Blessed are you, he emphasized. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. You see, Nate didn't, he didn't focus as much on the first part, but he was challenging this generation. That if you stand for the Lord Jesus in this culture, you are going to experience persecution. But you're blessed when you do. Now, every day they had to say that particular passage for the day, and they would work on it. We had 130 kids in the camp. I don't know how many of them you think Mike would learn that many verses, but 57 of them every day said every one of those verses. And I'm talking about in the busyness of a camp week, using your free time to memorize verses. And then on Friday, as if we didn't give them enough challenge, on Friday, if they wanted to get some extra points for their team, all they had to do was say all 32 verses at one time. Well, we could only get 51 of them to do that. 51. Some of those hadn't even learned the verses every day. But they went back and learned them. You see, it's God that is able to motivate a young person. You're sure they were getting team points. I'm not discounting that in any way. But God was working. And here, one of our own guys quoting his verses to his counselor. God is able. He's able. He's capable to produce a focus on Jesus Christ. A focus on Jesus Christ. One of the things that Nate emphasized, and here he is talking to one of the campers. He emphasized that as we go to the Word of God, we're not going primarily to seek answers, but we're going to seek the one who is the answer. And if we will look for the Lord Jesus in the Word of God, and the focus was there. And he had a challenge, or actually he kind of laid it out more as just something that they do over in Niger, a group. He said that they'll ask one another occasionally, and we challenge the campers to do this, and I'm going to challenge you to do this. I want you just sometime, when you have a few minutes with somebody, just say, tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. And he said they do that. They'll be sitting at lunch, and one of them will just look at the other and say, tell me the story of Jesus. And he said, you know, if the story of Jesus ever gets boring to you or old to you, something's wrong. What an opportunity. What a simple way to ask your children, to ask your parents, to ask your friend, to ask another believer at work or at school or in the community or whatever. Say, tell me the story of Jesus. They might tell it in a minute. They might tell it in an hour. Focusing on the Lord Jesus, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, both for unbelievers and believers. You see, he is able to produce. He's able to produce, an atmosphere of spontaneous prayer. And that, I think, was one of the secrets to what went on up there. I mean, you could walk around anywhere. I don't care if you were in the lodge, we're going to have the meetings, you're in the dining hall, you were on the ball field, you were on the mountain, and you'd see two people standing there praying together. And that was the atmosphere. And God had produced that, but people had to respond to it. And God wants to produce that here. He wants to produce that we're standing out in the hallway and somebody shares a prayer need. And yes, we should say, I'll pray for you, but let's pray right now. Can I just pray for you? And you saw that all through the camp. And we see the result of that, which was a result itself of God working. God working. He's able to produce, and he did, a compulsion to witness. Yes, we had a speaker there, and he shared the gospel. Yes, we had counselors and a director and staff, but you know, we also had campers sharing the gospel with other campers, sharing their testimonies, going to other campers and concerned about them. And it challenges me for us, how concerned are we about the people in our lives? You say, well, if I was at camp, I'd do that too. And I know life is not camp and camp is not life, and I understand that. But yet we're called, and God is able to do that, to produce in us that desire. Nathan, one night in sharing a special report on the unreached peoples of the world, he told us that 42% of the world has never even heard the gospel. 42% of the people in this world have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe God's going to call you and send you to some of those unreached people, or maybe he's going to leave you right here and have you be a witness where you are. He is able to produce intimate transparency. And on Friday night, we didn't have a campfire, but after Nate left, and he had to travel to Washington, D.C. for a breakfast meeting the next morning, and we just opened it up for the campers, and they begin to share. And they begin to pour their hearts out. Not in long, drawn-out, dramatic stories, but in brief testimonies. And about 25 of them shared their hearts. And you heard that quote that I read at the beginning refer back to that. You see, God is able to do that, to allow us and to motivate us to open up our hearts and our lives to one another. And that's difficult to do. And I know we don't have a week at camp to culminate on a Friday night to do it, but God is able. See, he can do more than we can ask or even imagine. God can do that. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. For all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He can do that. He is able to produce needed reconciliation. You know, when you live together for a week, you're going to have some conflict, right? And if you don't think so, then you're living in a dream world. And it's the same at camp. And when conflict came up, though, we saw God who was able to resolve that conflict, and forgiveness sought and given. Because, you know, those kind of things can hinder the work of God. At a camp, they can hinder the Word of God in a local assembly. And God is able to bring, there may be some here this morning that you need to have reconciliation with someone else. Maybe they're in this assembly. Maybe they're in your family. Maybe they're somewhere else. But God is able to do that. And He desires to do that. It's hard. It hurts. But it's needed. And then, of course, the last one, God is able. He is capable of producing changed lives. Nate's last message on Friday night was verse 12 of Matthew 2. And the Magi went home another way. They went home different than they came, right? And that was His challenge to us. And we saw that. We saw that happen. I would say, if you were in the Lord's Supper this morning, there were four young men that were at camp as campers that got up at the Lord's Supper. And I'm not pointing to them. I'm just saying God is working. One of those young men just got saved this week, and he shared that. Oh, excuse me here. I'll get to it. Okay. Just want to real quickly as we close, we had a baptism on Friday afternoon. Only the second one I've ever seen at Mountaintop. The other one's probably been 15 years ago. Here's a young girl, Jackie, right in the very middle. You see her sharing her testimony before she got baptized. And she shared openly with the camp some of the struggles that she had had. And God saved her and changed her. And took her from depression to joy. Not that she won't ever struggle again with those problems. But now she is a new creation in Christ. And she shared that. Here, the girl on your left. The girl on your left, when she was very resistant, she was one of the few that didn't seem to want to be there. But after one of her friends got saved, she ended up being more open, and she ended up getting saved. And she said, "I feel so clean." And another young lady who got baptized, whose grandparents go to this meeting, she said the same thing. You see, their lives were being changed. That the boy right in the front of the picture there at the end of the table looking around, he said, "You know what? I was a scribe and a Pharisee. I knew all the answers. I could tell you. But I'd never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'd never given my life to Him." And he came to know the Lord Jesus this week. Here's Holland. Holland, if you were at the Lord's Supper, he's the young man that got up and shared and worshiped. You know, this young man sent by one of the ladies here, he's got a very, very, very difficult home life and rough past. But this young man, if you go up to him today after the meeting and say, "I'd love to hear your story sometime," you'll probably end up down in a Sunday school room listening to it right now. So be careful. If you got lunch in the oven, don't ask him for his story. His life's been changed. This guy, it's amazing. He was witnessing all week. He was giving his testimony. He couldn't wait to get back home to a difficult situation because he wanted to share with them. Here he is giving his testimony before he went in. Here, I just want to show that picture. That's Rachel Langston from the Reedsville Assembly. She was already saved but had never been baptized. But just the joy that you see in that picture right there. That's what God was doing. And He does not only do that at camp. Please don't think about it like that. Don't think, "Well, if I could go to camp, then that would happen." He does it anywhere and everywhere that we're yielded to Him. That's His heart. That's His desire. His desire is for the people of God to reach out and love one another and reach out and love those who don't know the Lord Jesus. To Him who is able. We had 9 professions of faith that I could just about go back in all the years of teen camp. And, you know, obviously they're older and we don't normally have as many professions. But God blessed. He's able to do that. 9 young people giving their hearts to the Lord Jesus for salvation. 10 young people being baptized, taking a step of faith in obedience. Him who is able. Sometimes we sing, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." Can I change just? Do you mind if I change just a little bit? I'm not going to change it in the hymn book. I just want, "To God be the glory, great things He will do." Great things He will do. He's not finished doing great things. It wasn't just for one time period. It wasn't just for one week. No, God is continuing to do great things. We want to be a part of that. We don't want to get in the way of that. We want to be expecting that. As we said back when we shared our vision, we want our dreams to be bigger than our memories. As wonderful as the past is, we want the future to be even better. And we'll close with this. God is capable of producing more than you can ask or imagine. So what's your response? So ask and imagine more and bigger than you have been asking and you have been imagining. Because you will not out-ask God. You will not out-imagine God. Because our God is the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much this morning for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that Your Son, as our brother has already prayed this morning, came to this earth willingly, born and laid in a manger. Thank You for His humility. Thank You for His holiness of life as He lived a perfect life. And then as we read in Your Word that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried and He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen. We thank You for the gospel, the transforming power. Father, we thank You that it's by grace that we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is Your gift to us, not of works. We have no right to boast. Father, we thank You so much for the gospel. Those of us who know You as Savior, Father, we praise You for a changed life. We pray for any here this morning who have never received the Lord Jesus. And Father, we want the gospel to continue to impact our lives moment by moment, day by day. Thank You that You are able. You are capable. Father, help us never to think small of You. Father, we confess that oftentimes we have done that. Father, may that end right here. As we thank You for what You did this past week, we praise You, we worship You, we adore You, we exalt Your holy name for all that You have accomplished in Your perfect will. Thank You. You get all the glory, Lord. We pray that You'll do that in our lives, that You'll do that in our families, that You'll do that in our assembly, that You'll do that in our world. Father, might we be encouraged. And I thank You for everyone in this room this morning. Might You do a work in our hearts in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. May the Lord encourage you.